Welcome to this week's Eau Claire Linux User Group. Today is October 23rd, 2008. How are we doing?
Great.
Just fine.
Just fine. Good.
Weather's great.
George's at home sneezing nonstop, so I have to let him stay home and get some sleep.
Oh, good. Starting our 2 minutes of fame. Who starts first? Not you. So
I'll start first.
Oh, thank you.
The other corner here.
Thank you for helping. Can you yell because there's a microphone over there?
I haven't done a whole lot other than I just play a little bit around with Conky because it's built into the Ubuntu repositories.
You played with what?
Conky.
Conky. Yes.
That image on the, and I was amazed at how easy it is to set up.
I learned that you can drag Conky to a console.
Yes, I've seen articles like that. I didn't try that. But I run Conky on this right here.
Yes.
And so all that stuff is just displayed all my stats, throughput stuff. But it was, you just take a generic text file, you put it on there, and just adjust a little bit, and it ran right away online, getting all the stats out of the desktop and stuff like that. So I play around with that stuff. Other than that, I'm going to be playing around with a box called, Popcorn Hour. I don't know if anybody's heard of it.
It's something about moving.
Very close. It is a sort of like a MIPTV box with no hard drive. And basically, it's a thin pizza slice box that you put on your home entertainment center with HDMI outputs and the optical outputs. But it connects to a remote computer somewhere on your network and pulls the information off there to stream any music, video, and stuff like that. And it also hooks up to certain websites.
It's like, so it's, you buy
so
it?
All, yeah, it's just all solid state. You hook it up. It's already, all the software is on there already. You can add an internal hard drive if you want to.
Where do you get this?
Just type in Popcorn Hour on the website.
Is it open source?
What's that?
Is it open source?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Get a Neuros does the same thing, and you can have it.
Yes. What was that? Neuros?
Yeah, the Neuros. That really was exactly what the Neuros was. Yes.
Is the Neuros its own hardware and stuff?
Yeah.
Yes.
It, you could plug a USB stick into it, any size you want. SD card.
The key that I was looking for is optical output.
Doesn't have that.
Because I want the pure sound, the 5.1 surround sound channel, stuff like that, and HDMI output. So you can stream full HD out of this box from another PC on your network.
That's higher capability.
Yeah. And it does have an opening for inside the case to put a hard drive in. So you
How much does it cost?
It's like $200. They're a cheaper version for $150.
That's reasonable.
Neuros is about 160.
Yeah, okay. It's a little cheaper, but
it's bringing data in on your network that you're sending it.
Right.
It's turning it into.
I actually tried putting my PC next to my TV. You know, I've got a nice screen TV. I've got an entertainment center. I got it hooked up, but you know, in my room and stuff, that PC then became dedicated to my home entertainment center, and I no longer use it as a PC. So I actually lost the PC by doing that because you just don't use it as a PC anymore. It's there, you gotta move over by the TV, your keyboard's on other stuff. Well, so this box, basically you put on your home entertainment center, and then wherever your PC is in your house, whether it's a Windows, whether it's Linux, it will attach to that source and pull the stuff off through menus and a remote. On that.
So it's Wi-Fi?
It has a, you need a network connection, hardware network. And it comes with a remote, so you can point at it like a cable box.
The popcorn box has a remote.
Yes. Popcorn box has a remote, and it pulls up a menu similar to like this.
But then it's getting the information off your PC?
Off your PC through your home network.
And you're like allowing it to look at certain files on your PC?
And you just tell it like the directories where your movies are, the directories where your MP3s are, and then it produces a menu choice.
See, that's exactly what I was thinking about. Something like that. I thought you'd have to stick a computer by your TV.
That's really what it is.
It's sort of like a computer that's already got all the software in but no hard drive. It's just looking for a repository of where all this information is. And then they're slowly updating the firmware to be able to go after different websites. They've got two or three websites.
Like Hulu or something like that you can play on.
Wow,
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, me too.
It's called Popcorn Hour.
I have a MIPTV box hooked up to my TV right now.
But
there's not something for they need to do.
And then other than that is I put the new Ubuntu on my EPC. and it's getting better and better each time. I no longer have to compile my own wireless drivers for the EPC. It's all built into the new version and stuff. Works really well. It seems pretty slick. It's just that I get about 50 updates a day.
That's the brand new Ubuntu?
Yeah.
8.10 or 8.04? Oh, beta.
Did you try that Ubuntu has, I think they call it like Netbook edition?
No,
that's actually the one which they are pushing with the Dell.
Yeah,
it's something like Netbook edition or something like that.
But it's an Ubuntu flavor.
It is Ubuntu flavor, and it is actually they provide it for Dell. Okay.
The thing about this Popcorn Hour is it doesn't actually have any tuner or anything on it.
No,
so
that's
it would just be.
So, how do you watch regular TV then?
You don't watch regular TV through that. But it's,
you don't use this for regular
it's
TV.
It's for. Your stuff that you put on a hard drive.
Okay.
I take all my DVDs and all my CDs, and I've already ripped them and put them on my hard drive. So it's there.
It's just still playing.
It so something that they would add on to here would be a MIC TV front end.
Yeah,
that would be something that would be very useful on this.
You
put the back end someplace else on your network, sit down in the basement or something.
That would be too easy.
That's perfect for you.
Is it nice ISO file? Pop this
popcorn
lock.
Pick up any of those.
I don't know. I
like this.
VOB, so it should.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, so you should just be able to copy
the VLC media player will open it up and
stuff. Yeah, it's got USB ports, so you can hook an external drive to it and use it as a DVD player.
All right, here's the list. MPEG,
Popcorn Hour.
MPEG, 1, 2, PS, VOB, AVI, ASF, WMV, MKV, MOV, XVID, MPEG, 1, 2, 4, Windows Media Player 9, H.264, VC1, and then audio, AAC, MPEG audio, WAVE, WMA, Black, Frog, yada, yada, yada.
They have three products, basically. They have a lower end of this box. This is their newer model that they came out with. And then that's a PC board that you can modify and add. But they said by the time you get done adding the case and all the other stuff, you're back to a PC. You know. So.
And here is actually back to the
remote. That's the actual box right there.
This one doesn't have a remote?
Yeah, that has a remote.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just that. And, oh,
that's the lower end version. It doesn't have... It doesn't have a couple things up here what they are.
So. Could you do something like watch YouTube videos through it?
Yes, you can.
Through your computer, basically?
YouTube?
Yes.
Okay. They mentioned certain sites that you can, that they're
when,
hearing
it. When we talked about it, there was an update for Boxy, which is Web 2.0 player like that. And that one is streaming YouTube or the whatever media you have on your drive.
Is that works through a browser? Or do you have to put a client?
I think there's a client. There's a Ubuntu client.
Does it do 1080? What do you have to download? Was that like an update? Firmware update?
What is?
Well, it has a download section, so it was maybe plugins or firmware.
By the directions.
Yeah.
They come out with firmware quite a bit. They are continually updating the firmware to add more codecs and more things like that.
Do you know what it does 1080p?
Yes. Though they say if you really,
they
have to add the hard drive internally in order to get the throughput through your network fast enough. So they aren't guaranteeing if you go through the network, you're going to get a non-jitter.
Yeah. I can barely get a high def signal. Like a 1080i would barely go through a 100 base network.
Really?
That's so like even through wires?
Wire?
Yeah, Cat 5.
Wow.
So that's what they recommend you adding on a hard drive if you're going to do 1080p.
As a buffer, or do you actually have the hard drive with the movie?
The case is built so you can put a SATA drive directly inside the box.
It does. I think it uses the hard drive as a buffer.
So the movie would still...
You can use it for a repository of your videos, or, I don't know, maybe a buffer, I don't know. But I know that's what they mentioned, put a drive inside.
Could you buy one?
I purchased one, but they're... they've got such a high demand right now, they're about 3 to 4 weeks out before you get it.
So can you give us...
Yeah, as soon as I get it up and running, I'll let you know.
So we are meeting in your house next time?
Yeah. Well, the MKV is huge, because open source movies, you get like 12 gig files.
It's very simple.
Yeah. Do
site over there. That's got a lot of open source.
You call open source movies.
Wow.
Is it like Pirate Bay?
No!
Open source. So you got like the sets that you can use for your own movies, right? Open source.
This would be perfect if it does MKB, XVID, DivX, all through high def and B.
See, you can buy it when you live in Norway.
I looked on the info page and they list ISO specifically as other formats. Yeah. So you can you just back up yourself with an image.
I think it's one of those things you better buy now because it's going to be like super.
I don't see what to buy it here.
I see.
Then you're buying another drive. When you get a larger hard drive,
then I'd pin them.
1 terabyte is
I guess you can buy it here.
Just ISO everything.
There's no use in spending 20 hours in disk transfer.
You can't buy it in States. There's no U.S. listing.
No, that's for reseller.
That's for reseller.
Yeah, you can buy it directly off their site.
Just say buy me,
and it'll bookmark. It's going on my Christmas wish list.
Mm-hmm. But on mine, too.
Are they directly selling it, or do you buy it like through eBay?
They're directly selling it.
So where to buy
it? It actually used
Gmail. Oh, view the card.
Google's pay thing, if you want to use that.
Google checkout.
And the reason I ended up with this is I wanted to get a good interface between my EPC and my home entertainment center. So what I was really looking for was an external USB sound card. Well, Best Buy had the Creative Labs, really nice.
Oh, here's a pre-order.
I couldn't get it. It wouldn't control it. I mean, I can get it to work, but there's no software to actually turn on and off the optical thing, so it translated everything to stereo.
Thank you.
So I ended up saying, okay, I'll try this.
You need a knife, or you want to
get the other nice thing is that my son can use his laptop, that he can send his stuff to the state.
Wow, that's neat. I like that.
We've got a plug-in design contest, so it's like, it's got to be
I think it is. I think it is an open source type.
Or either that or BSD.
Well, they have their community on the top, whatever that means.
I mean, they wouldn't have a plug-in.
That's what they have on the bulletin board. Yeah. Yeah. See what they're talking about on the bulletin
board. There was, it was like, yeah, bulletin board.
Oh, I like that thing.
So how did that create? So. Then just get a serial ATR.
Ah,
there.
It doesn't have a tuner. You can't
use it. Yeah, that's you got a tuner on your TV. Would I need a tuner in that?
I don't have a TV.
Yeah, it would be nice if you had a
tuner. Projector don't have a tuner, too, so I got to have something with the tuner.
Yeah, it would be cool if you had a tuner that went to USB, then you could plug it into the USB port.
Actually, there are USB ports.
Yeah, I have one.
But
you want to borrow one?
Some of them are.
I've got a small one, but who knows if this box can actually take
it. I have one I'm not using. I bought a while ago.
Got one USB drive.
Byron, I bought a used one for 25 from college.
But there's some with NFS already, so it's got to have one.
It's fine. Big old Sony, 20 years old. All
right.
So there's my good.
Wow, that's great, awesome, man. Dude.
That was 2 minutes of fame, if there ever was 2 minutes.
I know.
You are famous. So what do you serve when we come to check your stuff in your house?
What's that?
What do you serve when we come to check?
Sell his beer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You can sell your beer.
I cannot sell the beer.
You can donate.
You just give it to us.
I am giving away. Yeah.
You can request wire donations.
I can have a cover charge at our house. And just
there you go.
The beer supply.
Hey, beer supply. I like that.
How many beers do you plan on drinking? Okay, your cover charge will be this much.
That would be 10 pounds of grain.
If you like the interface and anything, that's going to have to be.
Who's next? How are the ducks
doing? Oh, the ducks are in the new house. That was quite an adventure, actually.
Was there a party?
Well, it was a learning experience for all of us.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We had an audience for the big transition period. But yeah, it took them a couple days to figure it out. But today, it was like we got them in, what, last Thursday? And we left them in the house a couple nights, just, you know, so they got the
idea. Did you get the action cam up and going on them or not?
What's that?
Did you get that
action cam? No, I'm working on that, actually. That's the next project. We'll get a web cam going. But, yeah, it took them a couple days, but they figured out the whole routine, how to come in, go out. You know, it was quite interesting to watch them learn. But that's it. Just something I noticed today in the news. It looks like Symbian is taking steps to go open source.
Yeah, I know it is.
So I was always interested in that Symbian operating system. So I was happy to see that today.
Not that I would be programming in it, but
yeah,
it is interesting.
Yeah, if I had a smartphone, and those Nokia phones are pretty nice compared to a lot of the other ones, hardware-wise.
I know somebody bought
better hardware.
I know somebody bought Android.
Yeah, right. I
gotta find a way to fill 2 minutes, man.
Adam.
Free.
But I mean, you know, it's nice to be able to write your own apps for a smartphone. That would be it. Because I never liked the things they have on it or the things that you call and buy.
Was Symbian the one that bought Palm?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Who bought Palm? Palm bought Symbian.
Yeah, Palm.
Because they wanted to switch the operating system.
Well, Palm is Windows right now, Windows Shop. They're used to have their own operating system, but
always switch over to
somebody.
Any Palm or Trio, what you buy, has a Windows mobile.
What? Where? News?
Ah.
Yeah, the only thing is that we can move around with those.
Anybody else? How about a guy with all jobs?
Yeah, I liked the beer. I didn't know it was going to be a stout, but it was awesome. I loved
that.
It was really
good.
It was very good. I was like, I liked the way the flavor and it wasn't as stale as like the other stouts. It had a little bit more zipping, as in, you know, when you drank it.
Ooh,
I liked it a lot.
I like it.
I did a very good job.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, next batch is probably coming next.
It's going to be another stout, or is it?
It's not. It's a pale ale, but. I was tasting one last Saturday and tasted very much like the stout, so I'm not
you
that
gotta,
happy with that.
You got to clean the fermenter in between.
Is that what it is?
And then
that's where you get all your flavor from. You
build
up in there.
Isn't that
how you make black beer? But actually,
Isn't that how the grandma was making casserole?
What's that?
Isn't that how grandma was making casserole? Never cleaned the pot.
Seriously, that's how you make Bock beer. You basically just put a batch in after the winter ferment in the spring, and it makes Bock beer. You just put the ingredients in without cleaning the vats.
I don't know. I didn't probably.
That's why Bock is so bad most of the time.
But it was very good.
We had it with a Mexicali kind of a.
Yeah, it tastes like a little bit of honey or lemon flavoring a little bit too.
Does it have more of a more carbonation to it than most stouts? And I like that. It gave like more flavor.
Yeah, why didn't you do it by a whole bunch of ginger beer? I mean, you reused the bottles.
That was a bad joke. I'm taking empty bottles from the ginger beer.
Or you can go down to Liney's, and I've heard they'll give you lots of bottles.
Those are Twistable.
Are they on the old?
Excuse me?
They don't seal
them.
They
don't seal them. You actually need to have a special twist. You know, it's a different thing. So you would have to have different
hands. Twist tops, so that you could twist them. Okay.
You know, I'll fill them, you'll twist them.
And then I tried something today with SSH that was totally, I think Brian had done it before. But you can do dynamic port forwarding with it. I was like, I never tried it, and I just heard about it from here. And it worked. I checked out his website and said that my IP address was coming from my house and not from the Wi-Fi spot I was at.
Yep.
I was like, sweet.
They
really cheap VPN solution.
All the fun stuff that you can have.
Yeah, with SSH, it's really flexible.
Well,
so back to my house and then out from my house.
When you think about a VPN, it is pretty much just SSH. I mean, there's a little bit more to it, but that's most likely what it is.
Ken O'Brien has done it where he's actually done the X11.
I'll do the SSH home and just let that sit there on my PC. And then even if I type in like my router address, the 192.168, it comes up on my router, just like I'm sitting at home on my stuff. So it's like you're sitting at
home. The only thing, I know I hate to mention the word, but has anyone done it with PuTTY on Windows?
Yeah, that's what I use, PuTTY.
You've got the random dynamic port forwarding to work?
Yep. The problem is the PuTTY program is, they don't tell you a real decent how to set it.
No, that's what I'm trying to
find. They do have a good decent help that tells you what to do, and I had to actually read that in order to figure out like how to build the fields and make sure it connects the same way. So
you had, okay.
But I got it to work.
I didn't get it to work yet, so but it worked just like that on Linux, but the PuTTY thing, it didn't work that well.
So for a guy like me who doesn't understand all this stuff, what are you doing, or what's the advantage to what you're doing?
Well, for example, like if here you want to browse the internet, do some other stuff, read your emails, whatever, by tunneling home, it's an encrypted session from your PC to your home base. So whatever you can hear can't be sniffed locally.
Oh, okay.
It's all encrypted. And in addition, all the access to the internet is coming from your house rather than coming from here. So from all the internet sites that you're browsing to, they see it as coming from your home and not
so
from here.
From using PuTTY, when you look through SSH, how do you direct your web browser?
With SSH, you have the ability to say, this port on this PC is actually the port you need to go out to the internet with.
Like
but really, when you go out to it, it retunnels it back out to yours. So
in
your browser, you tell your browser, go to port, and I use like 1480.
As a proxy.
Yeah. So in Linux, in the shell command is SSH space your name at your server space dash capital D space, then the port, like 8080, or you'd set 1080. Then you go into Firefox, go into the proxy settings, and then the proxy, you go to the SOX local, and then put in localhost 8080 as the port, and then it just...
It's sort of like pointing your browser to your own PC on that port.
And then
it's
goes
just that your SSH will take it from there.
But then PuTTY...
You're running the proxy server locally, and then tunnels it through SSH to your PC.
Right. But PuTTY didn't do that, so I don't understand...
Yeah, like I said, I can have trouble with PuTTY, but once I read the help, it told me help with that, and I was like, that's really strange you put it there. But once I did, it started working and stuff, so... Try to help.
Yeah. Mentioning sniffing, I read an interesting article this week about keyboards. Some British academics tested keyboards, and all keyboards currently that they were able to find currently embedded in laptops and any other keyboards that you have, not USB or PS2, not you know like wire, some radio sort of transmission thing, are vulnerable to being sniffed or tapped into from as far away as, I think, 20 or 30 meters.
That's been true since the 1970s.
And there's plenty, now apparently there's plenty of hacker software out there that will listen to your keyboard.
Wireless keyboard?
Any keyboard, not only wireless.
You mean like through radio interface?
Yeah, apparently
it picks up the
signal that's detectable. It picks up the electronic impulses that are operating within the computer.
As well as we would be more paranoid, they were saying, while you are typing, actually every key is making different sounds.
Yeah, here, I got this up. Three students at UC Berkeley used a 10-minute recording of a keyboard to recover 96% of the characters typed during the session.
So for the paranoid among us, something else.
And to be more paranoid, there was something about that whatever your screen is projecting actually can be monitored, and the same somebody can actually recreate whatever you are watching. So
same principle.
Just just go in a black room, and don't type.
It said they were able to break 80% of 10-character passwords in fewer than 75 attempts. So in 75 attempts, 80% of the passwords that were 10 characters, they broke.
And I know that's why Windows is so secure. You don't have to type. You just point and click.
Yeah, they got to add a mouse wiggle into the into your password.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then when you hear that...
Well, some people keep another window open, and every time they have to type a password, they'll type a couple letters, then go to the other window, type a couple letters, then go back and finish it. So that if it's key logging, you get a string of stuff with the password in there somewhere, but it's not
together.
It's not spun out.
You got to be very paranoid to do that.
Well, Or have a lot of viruses on your computer.
Oh, yeah.
Where if you're running Windows, that'll be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, because your thumbprint isn't anywhere else besides on your thumb.
Right.
Especially you
don't put your thumb anywhere.
Or the iris scan, I'd really trust that not to malfunction.
Don't worry, it's a low milliwatt laser.
Yeah.
I said once the iris scanner, and it looked very awkward.
Yeah.
You know, and people staring into it, and it was like, not warm and fuzzy feeling.
No.
But, you know, maybe young people will get used to it and zap the eyes. And
I think I read somewhere that this new, you know, supposedly 2010, 2012 Windows, the new, you know, the really big step Windows, isn't that supposed to have the webcam do facial recognition as a security?
Yeah.
I think that's supposed to come standard with this new system that they're putting out.
Yep, it's a face.
That would be Windows level security, yeah, right?
Denied.
Hey, you shaved your beard, I'm not letting you in.
That's right.
I had my kids at Pleasant Valley Farm taking pictures, and it's got the face recognition camera, and they have a big cutout with a pumpkin, and it kept recognizing the pumpkin face. The camera did, the box would go around the pumpkin. All that was on the pumpkin were black eyes and holes in the black, you know, painted mouth. And
it's easy to find.
Forget the kids, it was all pumpkin.
So that's how you break Windows passwords, starting in version whatever. You hold up a pumpkin.
Break Windows password is just give it another password.
Because nobody could ever take a picture of you and hold the picture up.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, did you ever do the thing where you submit your picture online and then it compares it to potential famous people?
No. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can take your pictures and then take your face structure apart and then look at famous people. I guess I came close to 60% of David Beckham.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Beckham,
he's a soccer player.
Oh.
He plays Action America right now.
Yeah, better than David Hasselhoff.
Come on!
He's like superstar.
I'm not sure he's so good. He debates on his program.
Baywatch was like
seriously.
Over in Germany, Hasselhoff is like the biggest celebrity ever.
He's a recording artist too, and the Germans love his CDs.
Yes,
he's not. I've seen that on VH1 and stuff. It's unbelievable. I don't know what they see on the side too.
I don't know.
I got the potato salad.
Yeah, potato salad.
Baywatch, I can understand. But that's a lot more.
But he was awesome. He talks actually pretty fluent German. And he did movies in Germany too.
Was
German actor.
Well, it wasn't great.
When he was talking to Watts and Carr came and the lights.
We shouldn't complain.
That's a good point.
Well, no,
Andrew. Was he Austrian or Switzerland?
Austrian. You need an Andrew.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
He's some Belgian. So, yes. So, but that's part of the reason.
Are you still on your 2 minutes?
No, I'm done. I was just again. You're singing the horns of SSH in the beard was awesome.
So
all right, I installed Kubuntu on one of my PCs and was playing around with that. Then I was followed Laos's thing on installing Flash 10, and that didn't work for shit. So I got a whole bunch of dependency problems.
Oh, really?
Flash 10. But I think Byron's got me straightened out. So.
Because we aren't going to help you.
Well, that's good. We expected. But, so, I don't know, that's about all I did, I think. I didn't make any beer.
Did you fill up your house with your dinner and your oil?
Yeah, we're eating with that now. We're off the grid. I haven't been on the grid for a couple weeks.
Did you get all those new solar panels hooked up? Or
no, I just got...
Just going on the ones that you had hooked up before?
Problem is, now I need the heat. So we got plenty of electricity because now we need the heat. So
So that's more of a summer
kind of heat. Do the electricity with the generator? Or do you don't generate?
No, I use the waste heat from the generator, the exhaust heat, and the antifreeze to heat the house.
Oh, okay.
And electricity charges the batteries and dries the clothes and all that other stuff. So it's doable.
Cool. Maybe we should take a tour in your house.
Start selling power back to XL Energy.
Yeah, that's.
That's more complicated than you think.
I imagine.
It doesn't actually come up to much because you have to actually pay them to sell back to them.
Yeah, start off by paying them $20 a month to be able to do it.
Sure.
So then you got to just generate $20 of electricity just to
that's
get
a
the
lot of electricity. $20 to buy a lot of electricity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you plan on making it through the winter without using grid stuff?
Yeah, we did it last winter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
I think a couple of weeks ago, he was impressed and asked in a company who has the windmill that you can put on your roof. They always look they look not like a typical windmill. It looks like this thing, you know, what it was shaking, making a whipped cream mess.
Like an egg cylinder? Yep.
That's kind of how it looks on the roof. And I guess Crest is a company, and it's like a small thing for homeowners, but, you know, what I don't know how many kilowatts you can make, because it but pretty much take a lot of your daily basics off of it. I'm not sure if it survives enough or not. It was just Crest invest in this company that was just an economic news. It was really probably 3-4 weeks ago.
You know, if you think that if everybody would just generate half of the electricity would they use, you know, how much that would be.
Yeah, I've heard mixed results on wind power in this area.
Right.
I've heard people that say, oh yeah, it works fine, and then I've heard people that say, no, it doesn't work, worth crap.
It depends. If it's
a
deploying,
what scale,
right,
too. I mean, it depends what scale.
We own windmills in Germany, and back then, what we want is 1.6 gigawatt, and our new one is 2.2.
Gigawatt?
It's big ones. You know,
it's megawatts, not giga.
No,
mega.
No. Big.
The actual big ones.
Big ones.
It's the like big ones are like that four big or five stories tall.
What? The new ones for the for not enough.
1.6 megawatt, not gigawatt. Like the great big huge power plants are only gigawatt, a few gigawatts.
Then maybe. Okay.
You have kind of a lame argument.
Yeah.
Hold on. Wikipedia knows.
601.6, like the newest one is 5.0, maybe it's megawatts, not gigawatts. But the thing going offshore, and but the ones we run, and what the biggest problem is transmission. When they have the 600 ones, they work all fine, but now the bigger ones, the transmission can hold up. And the one, there's one company, Enercon, who has had an office in Hudson, but they moved to Canada. I guess the last thing I heard, because somebody had interest, they have a legal fight with GE, I guess, scope and product. They have a transmission free one, that's free running, that's right away generating, that I dropped in the hat. And they're not, because of transmission hybrids, they cannot generate as much power, but on the middle left, the lower limits are higher, and on the long run, because you don't have a transmission, you don't lost energy, and you don't have enough maintenance work, they're much more efficient. So the years capitalized, even if it's 1.5 compared to 1.6 and 1.7, but the amount of electricity you actually house in the year, especially if you're not in a really optimal standpoint, and in like a mid-range, you're much more efficient. So, but you, when you talk about 1.5, for example, then you can actually count it for 500 on a couple days, because you have to say one third. From an electricity standpoint, you can count on.
So, are you planning to have some windmill too?
No. I just the wind charts don't for this area, they just don't pan out.
Or you would have to have a really high pole.
Even then, we just don't have wind here like they have. Where, you know, if you look where they put them, they're out in the plains with wind.
Southern Minnesota.
Straight line all the time.
When I'm driving to Ohio, there were actually a few trucks which were hauling the bases, and it was on three trucks for one base. It was huge. It was enormous.
The woman just said that's what her husband does. He's trying to secure the truck for delivering the trailers.
Oh.
And because the come a lot shows up in Milwaukee, Washington, from on the port, and then they're shipping
Where did we see those wind farms?
That was down in Illinois.
That was in Illinois.
And I got the numbers here too. 1,600 kilowatts is the standard rate or the rating for the
1,600 is 1.6
megawatts.
Yeah, smart guy.
You know,
I mean, I read up on Windows.
Whatever I said about you, you know, I'm taking it back.
That was a gigawatt. I'd have to be 1,000 of them.
Cool. So
that'd be a lot of Windows.
Yeah. What was that all? What have you done?
That's all. But, you know, for me, that was quite a bit.
Yeah, I believe that.
Actually, they on Linux. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, they're switching this and doing switching that.
That's the same shit.
They say that the biggest ones can now generate up to about 5 megawatts.
I mean, that's what offshore.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is offshore, what they have is erosion. They don't have this under control. Mm. The power of the water just on the whole thing. So, and then. See, the original idea was taking it offshore, using it on the utility to make hydrogen right away. Because the problem is still with wind, like you said, you're in the middle of nowhere, and you have to lay all this pipes transmitted where people live. Or why we don't use it to make hydrogen. But hydrogen is such a
hard to transport.
Yeah.
Hard to transport because you can not use all the natural gas lines. They're not good enough to transport this.
It depends if you want to blow it up.
Yeah.
It's just a small detail.
Not a good neighborhood to live in by the pipeline.
Yeah, well, the idea was, you know, why in the summer don't you snap the gas line, but you cannot. Good enough.
Well,
also, the efficiency is when you look at a VP and look at comparing from wind to what you actually generate in power, comparing to coal, is like using twice as 3 times much energy. That nuclear is only fraud. Well, now you defeat the purpose. You need nuclear to create hydrogen. Or why don't you run away with electricity? You know? So it's not really efficient way to do it.
By the way, that website that you can compare yourself to celebrities is called MyHeritage.com.
MyHeritage.com.
Yeah.
Wow, y'all like Mr. Wikipedia. So I would have probably Homer Simpson. Like 100%.
99.6%.
I think, yes.
This is like
it would really fit.
I can. You got a picture of yourself?
No, I don't want to scan.
How do you do it? You scan it in?
No,
you just
upload it. JPEG.
Any JPEG you can submit it. They kind of analyze your face structure and stuff. Some key points. Face of this.
So don't try to take a picture of your ass.
Is your mom or dad from England?
No.
Well,
we invaded England before.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
All right, I think
we don't have to have a history lesson here.
Okay, go on. What's your 2 minutes of fame and love?
I didn't have yet. I didn't have time.
No, I don't. What is it?
Actually, I try OpenOffice 3.0, and I tried PDF editor. And that worked pretty good. I was very pleased with that.
That's in the OpenOffice PDF editor.
Yeah, you need to download a plugin.
Okay.
And so I had actually existing PDF file, and I wanted to adjust it, move it around, and it worked pretty good. I was able to
save
it. Yes.
What if the PDF was actually like an image that was turned into a PDF? Would it work then?
As long as it is PDF, I think it'll rescan it. Yes.
But all you get is a bitmap.
Yeah, I used it.
Would you just get a bitmap? No,
because PDF is...
you can have images embedded in the PDF.
Yeah,
so you've got an image in a PDF, even when you go to edit it. I don't.
Yeah, what I used it for is I had some sheet music that was scanned and put in PDF form. And for some reason, this one program we were trying to put it into, it wouldn't make the PDFs big. The way you got it, it was one of these printers that printed the PDF, and I couldn't print more than like a couple pages of the sheet music at a time. Apparently, there was just some limitation in the program.
Copyright.
So what I ended up having to do was combine to get one file for my little portable music pad thing. I had to combine the PDF files. Otherwise, I had to switch files in the middle of the music, you know, which was kind of inconvenient. So I wanted to make one continuous PDF file at it and just page through it. And I use that to combine the PDF files.
You could probably do that right from the command line, just go file it.
No, you can't. No. Well, you can if you open up the PDF files, but there's like headers and footers on the PDF files that you got to get that right.
Oh, okay.
And it counts pages, and that was the critical thing. I wanted to be able to push the foot switch page button and have it advance pages properly, so I had to get that right.
Well, that, as you are saying, that you wanted to add pages or remove pages, there's a Google had a book about hacking the PDF, and the guy who wrote it wrote also a tool. He called it PDF TK, or TK PDF as a PDF toolkit. And that one actually was able to combine PDFs or remove the pages from the middle, and to do that. That was pretty easy with that tool. It was a command line tool. So if you
is a PDF a text file or what is it?
It is sort of like a text file, but it is it has its own.
It's kind of almost like it's sort of like it works in principle of a PS file. It's
PostScript, right?
Sort of like a PostScript type. It's a language that is interpreted to display the document.
I think the key of PDF that made it so popular is that it didn't matter what system you were printing it on or what printer you're printing it to, it would always look the same.
Right? Yeah, I knew
that's
that.
Why the industry started using it because it did such a good job of that.
Yeah, and if only that were actually true. You know?
The second thing is that most people, the reader was free, but you could modify the file. So a lot of people was also controlling that you couldn't copy and paste your stuff out of it and take it to something else.
You do know that's for free. Text, so.
Yeah,
it is for free. You shouldn't have to pay for a damn file.
Firefox makes it much easier.
It's free.
So, what else did I do? Oh, I brewed. I think I brewed more beer. Yes, I did brew more beer on Sunday. So,
you need to start a beer brewery.
The government.
Yeah. Do you want to be in there?
No, I don't need to drink it.
See, so no, I need to spend time brewing beer. Why would I organize beer brew?
Anything that's related to a PDF.
I'm glad that people are drinking
free literature. It's
cool.
Free.
I think that's all.
You don't have to pay for it. And you have to go through gov.com.
How about you?
And they will access your...
Oh, I have this.
Oh, you got it.
And what it is?
It's my Android phone.
Oh, I thought it was iPhone.
What is it?
It's an Android.
Phone.
Oh, my
gosh. What service is it?
It's a T-Mobile. Yeah, it's got a big clock on it. That's the most important part. So
big
you can move it around.
That's important.
I mean, too much.
Who cares? It's got a BAC.
Yeah, it's got a big clock.
How do websites look like that?
They look fine. The website reader is pretty snazzy. You can zoom around with your hand.
Now, have you looked at some of the applications you can put on there? Or
I put Pac-Man on here.
Yeah. There you go.
You can put Pac-Man with the accelerometer, so that's kind of interesting.
That's right.
just don't drive and don't have
GPS. Yeah. It does have, it's got built-in GPS. It also will attempt to triangulate your position based on cell towers, which will get you within the radius of a cell tower. But
so they say that you're in Wisconsin instead of California.
Yeah.
They'll find out.
What state you're in.
Basically, it tells me I'm in the city of Eau Claire, unless I turn the GPS on. But it's got maps, and I did get the Weather Channel has an app you can install. It works pretty well. Yep. There's no 3G here. So it's kind of.
It has to be Wi-Fi.
It's you get the GPRS. It's got Wi-Fi built in, Bluetooth. You know, it's pretty much everything.
Yeah,
it's got a
what did you?
It's got a full keyboard.
Oh yeah, the keyboard.
Oh,
there's
oh, that's kind of cool. What is the name of that thing?
It's the T-Mobile G1. So.
Oh okay.
And what is it? Is it that?
It's the Android operating system.
Did you have the T-Mobile service always?
Yep.
So what does the do with your other phone?
Huh? I put it back in its box.
What does the service for that thing cost a month?
There is data plans. I think they start at like $20 a month for unlimited.
Yeah, but with unlimited the phone and everything, is it?
I think if you sign up a 2-year agreement, it's like $180
a phone. Just make a phone call somewhere.
Then how much a month?
Well, whatever service plan you get.
Yeah, I mean, is it 100 or 50 or?
I think they're like, they start at
40. Oh, it's an H2.
So we've got like shared data, I think, your family's phone. I didn't actually change my cell phone. That's
manufactured HTC.
Yeah,
I guess it would.
The neat thing, the real reason I got it was
Skype though or something.
Put your Google account information into it, and it comes up with your calendar, your email, your contracts. Everything's integrated into it, so that's my biggest complaint about my other phone is I'd have to try to synchronize it and never really worked well.
Do you know why the Google Mail worked with the Android so well?
Mostly bad, yeah.
I guess the Google is the sponsor of Android.
Did that come with Android or did you install it?
Yeah, there's something.
It is, isn't it? I mean, that's their, that's
Chrome?
The Google.
Yeah, Android is Google. Yeah.
Well, it's got their, I don't know if it's Chrome, but it's something like it.
It's got the gestural stuff.
But the nice thing is, the whole important thing is it's open, so if anybody can write an application.
Yeah.
You can download right. that application.
Yep. And they've got the, what do they call it, the Android Marketplace. There's a bunch of games and stuff in there already. Yeah. And like I said, I got the Weather Channel had a little application that's pretty good. You can, it doesn't do map and motion, is the only thing. Otherwise, you can look at precipitation and the clouds and radar images and all kinds of stuff over here. So.
Does it talk to you?
YouTube videos?
YouTube, it's got a YouTube thing built into it. And it's,
did you have to install it on there, or it came with that?
Nope, oh, came with that.
Does it have, like, Wall Street and stuff like this live?
I don't think you want to know anything that's going on the stock market.
So I think they had some, you can get some programs for that. I don't know, it depends on what people have written so far.
People are actually playing with it. That's the newest thing that you guys have a lot all the time. That's what people privately can play on.
If you go by Pizza Hut, does it tell you there's a Pizza Hut by?
I'm sure it would, yeah. Do you turn your GPS on?
Oh. I think the HTC is like the new HTC brand phone. Because two people I work with got HTC, one through AT&T and one through Altel.
It's a big handheld manufacturer.
Yeah, the last phone I had was made by HTC. I absolutely hated it, but that had Windows Mobile on it.
Say you've got an HTC from Altel that has Windows Mobile on it. Could you download this and put it on?
Just push the menu if it's off and push it twice.
Did you download Android? Can you download Android and install it?
No. I don't think you can just install it or anything.
Is it Linux?
You can go get the development kit and write software for it. It comes with a little, emulator so you can test it out.
And you can write Hello Android. No Hello World, but Hello Android.
Say about 5 hours talk time, 5 days standby. Depends on if you got Wi-Fi turned on, or Bluetooth, and GPS.
So what's the memory and storage on?
I don't even know. It's got a gigabyte SD card in it. I've heard you can get. Yeah, I think it's the high capacities you can get.
So it's at least upgradable, anyways. If you get more access and stuff.
Yeah. So it's got a little trackball built into it that you thought it was creepy.
No, it was actually. It is interesting.
It works okay.
And so where did you buy it here in town?
I bought it from the T-Mobile website. So we've had T-Mobile for like 6 years, so I just said upgrade my phone, and they said bend over, and I said okay.
How much? Did you cover from T-Mobile?
It's pretty decent, yeah. I mean, if we go way out in the country sometimes off, away from the freeway, we'll start roaming or something.
Even up around Rice Lake, it's pretty good. I mean, until you get, off the beaten paths, and then it's... My wife has Altel, and that's much better up there.
You get close to the cities, and then you Altel's get to areas that have the 3G service.
Is it here? Well,
they'll
get it
here
eventually.
I think
so. That's what I heard.
T-Mobile, I'm not familiar. They work with USA.
They're out of St. Louis, aren't they, or something?
They are German-based.
Yeah, they're German.
And when I take my T-Mobile overseas, it doesn't have a service. And I called them that I want that, and they said... You make your telephone unlock and you buy yourself a SIM card over there.
Yeah, I mean, this is 21 instead of 19. I think it's the European standard.
No.
Is that a different frequency?
It has my telephone has all frequency on needs to have.
Yeah, because it is just a SIM card.
But it's a T-Mobile here or a T-Mobile over there. It knows that it has a service. It just doesn't tell me that I am allowed to access the network. And it gets me time here from Eau Claire.
It's the U.S. companies that lock it down. Because
I think all over Europe phones work, don't they? You don't have to worry about what country you're in, do you?
No. Most likely not,
It works everywhere except for the U.S. Yeah. Everywhere,
we'll figure.
They talk that you can actually, with this T-Mobile, you can go internationally. They think about internationally, you go to Canada and Mexico. That's it, internationally for them. But you want to go to Europe?
Yeah, you have to do a different SIM card.
And I know that AT&T, I can take my telephone and my plan to Europe, and it'll work there.
AT&T, that's right.
But I don't know why T-Mobile doesn't work.
Is that the correct thing to say?
Yeah. So there's my
because they can make more money by making it down.
Well, I can make them quite well.
You wouldn't think that would really translate to much more money for them, because how many people are going to...
Well, no, it's not that. What they're doing is controlling the advertising, because what they're seeing this all is potentially a way of delivering you to advertising. And so what they're trying to do is control the advertising markets. And the advertising is always based on the accuracy of the market you're going to reach through that venue.
But, you know, from my point, it would be I have this telephone and I go to Minnesota and I know that they have T-Mobile, but I don't get to their service. No, that's the same thing what they are doing, which I don't understand why they do that.
Well, as I say, I mean, what I think what the industry experts are saying and what they're exploring in these hearings is that the companies see this as being, you know, eventually the way everything you're going to do is going to be from your smartphone. In other words, you know, PCs and all that stuff that, you know, are going to fade to the background, and you're going to do your shopping and all your purchasing. You know, you're going to walk up to a soda machine and hold up your phone, and it's going to charge your credit card for the can of soda that pops out and stuff like that. And so that
Amazon
the main reason they're trying to control access like that has got to do with future uses for things like that.
Sure. Then they'll be sure that that's who they're sending the ads to, because wouldn't be in
The whole point of advertising is that you don't want to spend money when people who couldn't possibly be interested in what you're trying to get them to know about are using that service. You want to target that as much as possible.
Yeah.
And that's the whole reason they're using it for data collection and stuff like that, is to try to make advertising dollars more effectively spent.
I'll tell you what, they sure don't do a good job of it. Because
no, they don't.
I wouldn't mind watching ads if I was actually interested in buying the stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's true. I mean,
it's very rare that I see an ad actually interest me.
So for the popcorn hour.
I never buy off ads. If I'm looking for something, I'll actually go out there and look.
Unless it's a tequila ad.
Oh, I still have to fix
yes,
that.
Yes, you do.
I should start that.
There was some ad about tequila, and I'm not sure if it's true or if it's just a joke, but it is like a medical ad, and it's like, do you feel inadequate? Are you blah, blah, blah? And try tequila. And
there used to be a drug like that on the market.
You just keep on going on.
You've got to be a worm eater to realize that.
You know, like going out in public. Yeah, it was that anxiety drug. What the hell was it called that they had an ad just like that? It's like,
yeah, tequila.
It's like, well, why don't you just get drunk? You'll feel good.
Yeah.
It's essentially what it was.
All right, whose 2 minutes of fame are we on?
Are you done? With the tequila?
I think so.
Okay. Your telephone didn't come back yet?
No,
I never seen it again.
Yeah.
Some special deal we can do.
Nigeria. No, don't forget.
We're trying out the internet gambling here.
Yes. Save Mr. Mabubu that you are still alive.
Hilarious comic
deal
again.
I
would
say.
Yeah.
And
it was an invitation from the Nigerian prince that has $1 billion. Except it was from Halsey.
Yeah, those Nigerian princes.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. Yeah, desperately need have $700 trillion to transfer. Desperately need you to throw in your $40,000 so I can transfer the money.
How many people still acting on the emails that come to your
ball
at your bank account?
Right.
Still
awesome. Are you at home?
I have a question for you. We talk about updating. Like, if I want to update Firefox or open Office, you do a normal update, or is it best go to that, remove it, and then download the newest version?
It would just update. If it's in repository, it's just the update. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to freak you out.
You're talking about Linux, right?
Yeah.
As long as you're not really touching the heart of the operating system, it's okay to just update it with the software tool.
And really what it's doing when it's updating is it is removing the old one and putting the new one on all in one step. So anything that would have been removed by removing it is removed and then replaced with the new one.
Hey, guys.
Firefox doesn't have it.
Wow.
Button on his update, so it's like,
I should try listening from my phone. I haven't tried that.
Yeah. Don't touch
it. Oh, my
God. But it's just the
just your package manager, Synaptic, or Appian, or whatever you use.
Audacity works in Intrepid.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, major upgrades like that, they might not do it except for with operating system updates. If you want to like do a major version jump, a lot of times you do have to download it yourself. Otherwise, it's going to say, okay, the version for 7.10 will go up to this version, but we're not going to make the jump to 3. The jump to 3 will be version 2.
Generally, it's not a good idea to skip versions. Even in Debian, we can't do that.
You've
got to go stepwise through whatever they
do. Right.
That was just like, but the thing I had about the version. Another thing was like, certain websites will not let, or they want a real player, a Windows Media Player, and I think on the movie player, if you have certain plugins, you should be able to watch the movies, right? Is it an aggression of plugins?
Oh, well. The thing you might want to watch with plugins is they don't always go to the next version. Sometimes you'll throw away some of your plugins and stuff and your add-ons because they don't work with the new version. But then you can, Foxfire anyway, Firefox has a utility that notifies you when you're discarding plugins and add-ons become upgraded to the current version that you're
going to have add-ons.
There's an M-Player plugin that will allow you to play videos.
Well, I use the...
That's when it starts.
I don't know. I have some, most of them I see, but lately I have like a few real players for Windows Media Player and some few versions you cannot play.
Okay. Are you guys ready for the ad? Are we ready?
Is this a tequila ad?
It's a tequila ad.
This is notoriously quiet speakers, so I'm going to try and use my volume.
Hang on.
All right.
Prepare to be astounded.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately. And with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all nine rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. Is a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 a.m. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
I see we're working on our transition to dualies.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
That is funny.
See, and this is actually in a beer podcast. So I wasn't sure if it was true or not. Well, cool. How about you?
I guess I didn't do much this last week. I've still been running those two email servers, running Squirtle Mail. One of them's on a new Ubuntu, and one of them's on an old one. And I got like R synced together, so they stay pretty much together. And, it's been working great. Every now and then it was getting slow, but I think that was a network problem. And I think that's fixed, but I'm not sure, so... It hasn't done it again since, but every now and then, like when you'd log on through SSH or something, every line would come up real slowly, like it'd be printing out the characters one by one. But then later in the day, it'd be perfectly fast. And I think it was the network.
Does that sound like a swap space problem? I mean, maybe he's...
Brand new machine, brand nothing else swap on it.
Space. Could be just running out of memory.
Yeah, I mean, how big is your swap
space?
No, it's not...
It's not making any disk noises or anything at the time?
Yeah, I think it's...
Could just be the network.
Yeah. I think it... I'm pretty sure it was the network.
Or something using 100% CPU usage to do the same thing.
Yeah, I checked that using that, what is it, Top X or something
top.
Like that?
Yeah,
Top. Yeah. Yeah. And everything looked okay.
Okay, that's it.
So you have that ad option here also on YouTube. So you can watch. Don't click on those on the side. I don't think those are supposed to be.
Those don't actually work. You see, what they do is they put up a picture of a beautiful woman so that you click on it, and then it's something completely different.
I think actually, if you are.
If
you
are, I can show you some sites that do have
we do not need to know that.
You're on the same side as the open source.
Oh, is that your open source stuff?
Yeah, I got some open source pictures. Oh.
I see. Tiger. I'm sorry, we didn't mean
that
to.
That was about it. And I've been using a program that's available for Linux. I've been using it under Windows. Okay. It runs well under Linux. It's called Eagle for laying alternate circuit boards. Yes. Very good program.
I actually just recently made a circuit board using Eagle. And Gary actually took the Eagle file and created the circuit board for me. He's got all the stuff to make it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there were a few quirks.
That was stuff. It is an excellent program. I've used a lot of them over the years, and they're the best that I've come across.
Have you tried out the GSCAM? That's the GEDA project. It's got GSCAM. This is like an open source version, probably the best open source one that's out there. GSCAM does the schematics, and then there's a program called PCB for the board layout. And really, it's got about the same features as Eagle. The only thing, it doesn't back annotate, and the two aren't really tightly connected.
That's the best part of Eagle, is that it uses the same database. So when you change a schematic right away, it reflects in the board.
Right.
So that's the key feature. And hardly any programs have that until you spend tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
I think it's really a good value.
Yeah,
and they have a free version that works up to boards like, what is it, 3x5 inches or something?
Well, that's what you used, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is the source code available for that program where you could go fix it?
No, but it has a very good scripting language built into it that you can do just about anything, and there's thousands of scripts available.
Yeah, plugins and such.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they're at least offering the Linux version.
Yeah. And the other product that I've been using
that's
is available for Linux too is a compiler by a CCS company that makes a compiler for those little PIC chips. And I think they have Linux version.
Yeah,
of that
there's
too.
A couple of versions of that. I know that at the Atmel microcontrollers, the compilers that they suggest to use is actually GCC.
Okay.
So
great.
There's a version of GCC for these microcontrollers called AVR GCC.
Yeah.
And the software that you download off their website says go download the free compiler, and that's the C compiler that they recommend.
Yeah.
So it's
pretty good endorsement for GCC.
Yes.
It is. And that's about it. That's all I've been doing. Some graphics stuff. Be careful.
Dabbling in everything.
Well, yeah, I don't have a very good attention span. I made a little synthesizer. A guy from Germany had posted this circuit that is a neat little synthesizer, and he had all kinds of sound clips and stuff too, so I listened to him and said, I gotta build one of those. So I did.
Cool.
I just got it assembled a couple days ago, and it works just like it's supposed to, so it's kind of cool. I was going to make a couple more and see if anybody wanted them.
Elliot, did you make any progress with that synth?
With what?
No. We ended up giving it to a friend who had a synthesizer.
With what?
Elliot had picked up a synthesizer somewhere.
Oh,
yeah. I'm just wondering whether he did it. He says he gave it to somebody else. Is he getting somewhere with it? Yeah, good.
What kind was it?
It was a
Parkinson. Oh, yeah, I remember those.
Yeah.
That's not really a synthesizer, is it? More like an organ? Like a, yeah. Does it have one of those ones where you flip a switch up for all the partials, you know, like you, if you hold down a chord, it goes like, and then you flip up all the switches and all the partials of the note come in, you know?
I don't know.
It would have just a row of switches all across the top.
I have a question. If it's synthesizer and organ, wouldn't it actually altogether make organizer?
Sure. It's more of a disorganizer.
Oh, really? Okay.
Was it
actually a circuit that I've been working on? It's a motor controller.
Okay, that's nice.
Google Gears?
There's an actual layout. Yeah, Eagle's great for that. Is that GEDA or is that Eagle?
That's Eagle.
Okay.
Where did you get your board printed?
Gary's basement.
Yeah. The place I work at sends out quarter panel orders that are single-sided boards, you know,
just print on
we image them at where I work, and then we just send it to Electronic Industries in the Twin Cities. And it's like $150 for a 31 by 24 inch
printout,
which you can be
online too that you can submit smaller boards. I can't remember the name of the company, but there's one where you submit a smaller board.
That was great.
Keep the cost down. What they'll do is they'll fold it for like a week or two and get a big collection of boards, and then they'll send them all as one lump so that you don't have to pay the extra charge for just one little board.
If that's the same one I'm thinking of, I ordered some boards from them a couple weeks ago and I got them, and it was called Batch PCB, and you can find them through that like sparkfun.com electronics page. And anyway, you got to send them your files, your Gerber folder files, and then you just wait a while, and I paid like $25, like including the shipping, it was like $25. And I ordered two of these little boards, and they're double-sided, plated through, solder mask, silk screen, and they came back beautiful, and they sent me five of them. They must have ran, like, I don't know why, but they just ran five of them.
It's amazing they can make money doing it, isn't it?
I know, $25.
I think what they do is you say you want two, and if they have extra space, they'll...
Right.
You know, they have to,
then they might
have to
throw
submit
some
something
away.
That's this big. Mm-hmm. So they'll just double up more.
Well, the thing with those is like any other printing operation, not 90, but certainly 75% of your time is in cleanup. So if you're going to bother to run any at all,
Yeah, but I think in the small ones, they have a whole bunch of people's orders all.
Right.
That's what the company does.
They collect orders for a week or two. To get all these little orders, combine them into one big one, send it off to the fab house, get it back, cut it into pieces, send it out.
Sure.
And
that company is actually one guy that pretty much runs that, and he wrote this thing called DRC Bot. That's like this, you send your files to it, and it checks your files to see if, they're manufacturable. And then you can check the progress of your order online and everything, and I think it's amazing because... We would pay $600 setup for a board like that just to get one of them. You pay $600 setup the first time, and on batch PCB, the whole order, everything, including shipping, was $25.
Wow.
The quality was outstanding. But it goes by the square inch, so if you're doing boards that are bigger, it's not a very good deal anymore once you get up to, because it's per square inch.
Good. Cool. How about Ms. Tron? I cannot see.
I start my new job on Monday, and so Tuesday this week was my last day at the old job, so I've been having some time off for once in my life.
Oh,
it's good.
Good. Where's your new job?
I'm going to be at Luther Hospital.
Oh.
Yes, on the PM, so.
PM.
I'll probably be here every once in a while.
Well, you need to tell them. It's going to be closed. So. Yeah, you just say, I gotta have my stuff right now, and I'm leaving.
Well, if you're still at Dooley's at 11, I can be there.
I doubt that you'll be there.
I don't know. Speak for yourself. Some of us will.
Yeah, especially if they got beer.
But that's not a bad idea. You know?
No, we gotta wait. We gotta wait.
Two more beers, please.
But it's only 4 days a week, but still with full-time benefits, so I'm going to... Kind of be random this week,
what
day I'll have off.
So it's 32 hours?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
The lamp's burning out.
Hey, the lamp is going.
You have a barcode
here? Uh-oh.
How the hell did they
get the newsletter quick?
Yeah.
That's scary.
Maybe that's a
I'm selling it next week, so don't.
It seems like it's. Yeah. What does that mean?
What means what the lamp is going?
Right down the bottom left corner. See that blinking lamp dealy?
Blinking.
They have a timer in there that says, you know, those lamps are only rated for however many hours.
Right.
And you don't actually want the lamp to fully burn out because that can be bad. Because they can kind of
ignite
tend
the whole
to
device. Yes.
Poof. Explosively. So they have a timer and it
so maybe we don't
want to
sit here anymore.
So, you
already
reset the timer.
Yeah, just go and reset the timer. You're good for another 100
hours.
We were
just talking about how to pair it on circuit boards and stuff. What's that light blinking over there?
Well, it went away, so we're okay. Reset the timer.
You know, maybe it was because this is too close and our heat. It wasn't cooling up.
Maybe.
They get really hot, so if it's not like extremely hot, fine.
I thought it maybe that was like a little giveaway to go to dueling.
Yeah, get the duct tape. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's tape up the vents and see what happens.
Scientific.
You can do it in 2 weeks.
No. We are moving to dueling.
Yes, I know. I see.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Could you show a movie on this thing?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I.
Okay, so that's similar to that one you got.
Yeah.
I mean, similar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same idea, yeah.
That's what I use at home. I bought it. Because you never use one from a college when I'm 25. That's what I watch TV and movies and everything on it.
No wonder it's almost burned out then.
too many
movies. Well,
this is used those are those open
source movies.
Source movies.
Well, I've had mine for, how long have I had mine? A year and a half?
See, this one
had almost 3 years already. I didn't actually show it.
They say you have
69
hours on
it. Where is that thing about moving to
Dooley's?
Did you say it's in a newsletter?
Yes.
Where is that newsletter?
Well, did you send me an email to be included on
the Oh, I guess I never did.
Well, send me an email.
All right.
Here is the, if you go to contact us.
Okay. Contact us.
Here is the email address.
Oh, okay. For the email.
So, over there.
Oh,
so send me your email address.
Alright.
How about Ms. Trod? Mr. EC Trod.
Me?
Me.
Well,
you.
I was looking some at voice recognition for Linux. Tell you what, there's not much to look at. There's pretty much one package called Sphinx. And I was going to look into that and see if I couldn't get something to a point where it was working. They've got something called, they got a bunch of different versions. Some of them do real time, some of them only aren't fast enough to do real time. But they've got one called Pocket Sphinx that is actually meant for like handheld devices and such. And it looks from the tutorial like it's pretty simple to set up, so I was going to try that out. I haven't gotten around to it yet.
I'd be interested in that. Try something more like those home commands. Like
that's exactly what I was looking
at. Command at home or something, and it like turns on lights or something like that.
Right, and that's what I was looking at. And I guess what they have is they actually have a website that, you know, like the biggest part of the voice recognition is you need to have the training data. And that's really the big problem. There's no open source training data, really. They have some open source training data. And to get it into a useful form, you make up a file that says, okay, I want these commands, and you apply it to their website. And their website will go through and do the processing and give you back the correct files that will detect those words. Because the more words you get, the less accurate your recognition gets. So you just give it a file that's got these 20 or 30 words that you want recognized. And it'll give you back the right files, and then you combine that in and do your thing, and then it'll actually recognize those words.
Hmm.
So it sounded interesting. I'm going to try it out. Maybe I can get it to work. Maybe not. We'll see. And the only other thing I was doing was I was playing with awk a lot. AWK from the command line.
Okay.
Pretty much for pattern matching and stuff. Just, I don't know, it just seemed like the reoccurring theme this week. Everything that I needed to do just happened to be an awk command, so.
Is that like a super find kind of thing?
Actually, it's more of a...
Like a grappling thing, or...
What it does is, it's almost
it's
like a programming
it's a
language.
Parser type
it's a parser.
you give it a file, and for each line in the file, it splits on a separator, and then it gives you, you know, $1 is the first parameter, $2, and then you can do regular expressions to match each line, and then you can do something different based on the different regular expressions. So, like, if you've got a file with two different types of things intertwined, you can split that out into two files really easily by do regular expression. If you find this, you know, print out to file one. If you find this, print out to file two. So there's a lot of stuff you can do with it.
Cool.
Yeah, well, the regular expression is a small part of it. I mean, the regular expression can be extremely simple and then do something else. Like, I was actually able to make a script using awk that would find the previous business day.
Yeah, but
using that combined with the date command, which is actually a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just found the regular thing. If you don't want to use regular expression, other things are much easier to solve.
Yes. Well, yeah, and for that, I mean, my regular expression was number zero. That's the one regular expression. Number one.
It's called
two through six. Those are the regular expressions.
Yeah, but still, it makes.
No,
that's about it.
Okay.
We didn't do too much else.
Adam has something else.
I forgot to admit, I was playing with FS Lint this week, too. It's
if you have too many lints.
But it does a file comparisons. It looks for a couple things. One of them that I was interested in was that it looks for duplicate files, and it gives you some options of how to handle them, whether you want to merge them together, delete them, or whatnot. What else does it do? It searches your packages, bad file names or name clashes, temporary files. It's kind of like, you know, cleaning up.
What's the bad file name tool? Like, make a file name compatible with both Windows and Linux or anything like that?
I'm not sure. All I really played was finding the duplicate files, which worked pretty well in my network storage unit. I've got directory after directory of last minute backups while I'm reinstalling the OS or trying something on it. I'm sure I've got gigabytes upon gigabytes of stuff I need to clean up. So.
Find broken SIM links and those types of things too, or is it?
I believe so. Yeah, like I said, I only played with the duplication or the duplicate file part of it, but it looked pretty robust. I don't know.
In reality, it's probably Norton who is writing that. You know, the registry fixer. Yeah.
Bad SIM links, bad IDs, temp files, empty directories, non-strict binaries, redundant white space.
That was a bad joke.
Yeah.
Cool.
Space one, space space one, space 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 one, space space space, character 255 1.
How about you, Elliot? Did you do any fun? I saw it today. Not today. This week, one time.
Sorry.
Yeah, you were walking somewhere from library.
Oh no, I was probably walking to work.
Yeah, somewhere. And
yeah, I haven't been doing much. I've been working and walking.
Cool.
So.
Cool.
What kind of car? That should be recent enough that, you know, repairable. Yeah, that's.
We're not positive. So they thought it was either head gasket
or gasket. Oh, anything is repairable if you have plenty of money. So shall we? Oh, you do?
Okay. Oh, only thing, we're almost ready to move on. I got my office. Still waiting. My friend hopefully has a hardware put together so I can put my own Apache server, internet set up at home. That's what Bonnie is. I'm going to put three 250 gigs hard drives in a PC and just put a Linux version with. Apache was with Linux, that's what Excel version is what I want to put on it. Mm-hmm. Then store all my files on it.
Nice.
That's what the plan is. See where we're going with it. And then hopefully I can run also my local PHP and stuff.
try this thing itself, so I don't have to use everything online.
Mm-hmm. Like so said, will you run your own domain then?
No, I don't plan to do this. It's just in-house.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, because I have Ubuntu on my laptop, still a PC on some of my computers, and I have this little storage device, but the backup, most of the files are saved before it crashed on me on my PC, so I have it there, but I don't have a backup version of it. That was originally an idea to record it. See, the hardwares are not bad, but this Netgear device, using an old IBM file format, if it's corrupt, there's no ways to get to it.
Yeah.
My Ubuntu machine, compared to Windows, it was saved as Windows. Ubuntu cannot get to the files, but at least it could get the IP number as well as address to it, anything. And I was looking online, and then you go online, you know, all these people are frustrated about it, because they supposed to be this tool that's doing all this fixing, and so I gave up, and I just realized, the good part is, all my work, from my computer, my client information is all good.
Oh, good.
My asset account, is people. Why are you doing a computer stuff, don't have files? I said, no. All my employee data, everything I have on record on the computer where that partition is gone.
Mm.
So all my old tax filing, my old bookkeeping, my W-2s and everything, that's all on the computer base, that's all. I get all the paper from it, but it's filled out. Ever come all of me?
Yeah.
Thank you. Have fun.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
So you didn't make a backup of the backup?
Not of that file.
Yeah. Just a joke. Just a joke.
Yeah.
And you make a backup, so you make a backup of the backup.
Never
I looked into some online version, I don't know if I want to pay for it or not. I don't know, let's say for this, I don't know. I guess I'm not much of a backup, that's not a problem. That's what I'm going to change.
I'm trying to get better at that too.
Having a device and having some of them, two backups on two different hard drives, the majority of files, and then some of it other stuff. Reorganize everything, and I have the same problem like what Adam just said, that some of it I have flying copies on different PCs, and the different updates, and so it will be kind of challenging. There will be some work involved to find out which file I actually want to save, which file needs to go, what's the current version, and have one separate location.
Lately, instead of trying to back up all the programs and everything, all I do is back up my data.
One thing I've heard a lot of people do is actually set up a Subversion repository, and then they'll just go in and they'll check in all the files that they want backed up.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
but you still need to back up your Subversion server.
Well, the thing is, the Subversion server counts as the backup.
Yeah, that is.
Because you have your local copy, and then you have the Subversion repository. And then, two, if you're going to back it up, you're not trying to back up this file and this file and this file. Back up the repository, you're done.
But if you have multiple computers working on the same file,
that's okay.
Subversion, there you go. That's perfect for it.
I like using those little USB drives, the ones that are bus powered. And I just have some batch files that are just rsync all the stuff over to them, so I can swap those up. I keep one at home and one at work, and then like once a month I swap them.
I bought one of them at Sam's Club. It's pre-installed, everything written hardware-wise for the PC and Mac on.
Oh, really?
I plug it into mine. It doesn't even recognize it that it's plugged in.
Oh, that's too bad. Linux picks up all the ones I've tried.
Yeah, this one does not. And so that was, I went to Sam's Club. They had it on deal. It was like $80, 250 gigs USB plug.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.